I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, a new podcast from Wondery.
From Adele to Victoria Beckham and Lily Allen, we take you inside the drama-filled lives of our most talked-about celebrities to find out what it's like to walk in their shoes.
She means their beautiful Prada shoes.
Listen to Terribly Famous wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. Hi, everybody. I'm Ronnie and this is Ben next to me. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. I love your Thanksgiving background for Brinsgiving.
Yeah, you know, getting into the spirit of Friendsgiving at Cy's house.
Yeah. Welcome to the Real Housewives of New York recap, everybody. Thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us for whoever joins us tonight. I mean, I don't even know when this is airing. We won't shut up today. We're recording all day. But we started our new live show on Monday night this week called Crappy Hour. It's Instagram Live every other Monday. First and third Monday of the month, just come chat with us. It's just a Bravo news and goss show. It's very casual. We just sit around and yap. So join us for that. Thanks to everybody who came by. This is a video. You can find our videos on Patreon and the Crappens on Demand level. Also, our bonus episodes. The last was a 2-part Big Brother cast preview, which was super fun as well. So join us.
Yeah, exactly. So we're back here with some Real Housewives of New York. It's going excitingly. How'd you feel this episode was? You into it? Feeling it?
It was fine. You know, there's a lot of trauma. There's just like a lot of trauma going on, which, you know, I get it. I mean, they're real housewives, guys. So this was that. There was a lot of sadness, but I mean, so far I'm like, I don't know, I'm just kind of going along for the ride.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So this episode opens up. We're back in Sag Harbor. We're still in the Hamptons. Everyone's waking up in Aaron's house. And Brynn is in Aaron's bed. And Aaron's like, oh my God, what happened last night? And Brynn's like, what did I do? And Aaron's like, you spent the night last night, girl. Like, you already forgot who I am. Isn't this crazy? We're like basically pretending like we had sex last night.
And Brynn's like, I didn't plan on sleeping with Aaron last night, but I didn't have a room, so I had to.
And then Cy comes in, and she's like, your mama's here. And she's like,
but where's Danny? Is he in the south? Is he in the east? Is he in Montauk?
Yeah, because there was like a thing from last, it was a flashback to last night where Brynn's like, I don't have a bed, so I'm going to get into this crib. I'm going to look for daddy. He's in Bridgehampton. Where is he? So now we have, Aaron's like still in bed and she's like, I'm going to go make a coffee. And Brynn's like, I need a plan B. And Aaron goes, ha, 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 ha. Aaron's like trying to sell every wacky moment. Anything that's like remotely funny, Aaron laughs so big to be like, we are hilarious. This is real New Yorkers here. She said she needs a plan B.
And Jenna gets up and she's in her weird baseball cap, but she looks like the friend in King of the Hill. Do you ever watch King of the Hill, that cartoon? You don't really see the type.
Not in like 20 years. And
he looks like his friend. Of course, I loved it. I was Bobby. That was me. I was like a little gay Bobby. Well, Bobby could have been gay. So then we're in the kitchen and Brynn's talking to Cy and she's like,
why did you leave me like that in the middle of the night? Red flag.
And Cy's like, that's what I do. Love them and leave them. I left some cash on the bedside table though. And she's like,
that's actually what I charge.
And Aaron's like, ew, guys, ew.
Wow, our chemistry is undeniable as a cast. So Cy's like, I thought you were cooking. I don't smell anything. And Aaron's like, oh, you want me to start now? She's like, yeah, okay. Are you going to make your shikashika, shikashika, shikashika? Isn't it funny that I still don't know what shakshuka is, guys?
And she's like, yeah, I wanted you to start cooking like an hour ago so I could eat now. And Jenna's like, are you doing the shakshuka thing? Because I can help with that. And she's like, yeah, you can cut some tomatoes. You haven't cooked anything? What have you done? Okay, you hired some caviar people to come over and bring the tin shit. And literally, that's it. You need to... Aaron needs to do better at this point. Last week, I was like, okay, the caviar was just supposed to be a snack before dinner. But you literally don't have anything in the house and didn't have shakshuka already prepared. Shame on you. Terrible hosting. I know.
So Jenna's slicing tomatoes, and she has these giant, hugely bejeweled bracelets on. And everyone's like, oh, my God. I love that there's like $50,000 worth of jewelry happening right here. Or like
she said half a million. Yeah.
And she's like, that's the interesting look for the Hamptons. And Jenna's like, have you heard of the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's? I was like, okay, I don't know. I've never seen Breakfast at Tiffany's. Is that a thing that happens, that people wear jewelry at breakfast like that?
No.
Or is she just saying it's like,
I think it was just a play on
breakfast
words.
Time and then there's like Tiffany's.
I think it was just a play on words, but Bryn, you're looking pretty poor. You know what I mean? Housewives, you're supposed to pretend to have wealth, you know? Like, we know that you don't, or all of you don't. I'm not just, like, picking on Bryn specifically. We know it's, like, a fake show and stuff, but you're supposed to be like, oh, my God, I totally have that bracelet. Love it. You're not supposed to be like, I'm a nice $500,000 at breakfast. What is this, the Hamptons? Yes, it's the very glamorous Hamptons, where you're supposed to not blink your eye at someone wearing that much money.
Yeah, exactly. So then meanwhile upstairs Jessel's in Uba's room and she's like, good morning sunshine, I'm returning your lotion because I feel like I bought everything. Well, I didn't borrow, we borrowed, because of course anything I do is on behalf of me and my sister friend Jenna Lyons.
And Uba's like, how was your sleep? And she goes, oh, you know how when you have kids you're always half awake waiting for Parvett to do his job. Get them the hell out of your doorway asking for hugs. It's not my job. Mother! I'm sorry, I went back there.
You know what it's like when you have children and you're trying to sleep and you just hear the ceaseless sound of a stool being dragged from the living room into the foyer, and who brings a stool into the foyer in the first place?
And so we cut back to the kitchen where Jenna is helping cook and there's an onion being cooked. And she's like, I'm dying right now because I'm like... super sensitive to onions. I'm crying. I'm like, hold on. I'm crying right now. It's like, wow, this is a wacky show. So then the other people come into the to the kitchen and Uba's like, oh, I'll tell you what's going to happen today. Someone's going to try Uba Hot.
Uba Hot, it's time for me to promote my hot sauce. So she starts pouring out the hot sauce from a jar and Bryn goes, that's a sexy ass bottle. Like, it's literally a jar. It's like, there's nothing sexy. It's just a jar. But I feel like Bryn is trying so hard at all times, like, yeah, sexy. I'm
at sick plan B. Fuck Uba Hot. Yeah, Uba Hot just got me wet. Hope I don't put out the fire and the hotness. What a fucking hot bottle. I can't wait to fucking fuck that bottle. I fucked that bottle. Is that bottle famous? I fucked it probably.
That's such a sexy fucking bottle.
So Jenna tastes the hot sauce and she's like, and Aaron's like, is that hot? No, Aaron. So Uba tells us, she's like, 2021, I launched it in June and I get a call. It's an Oprah favorite thing. And as entrepreneur, it's like winning an Oscar. I was like, bitches, I made it. And yeah.
Her backstory is basically that when she was modeling, she had to eat steamed fish and steamed vegetable, and everything she ate was so boring. So she made a hot sauce that way she could enjoy something. So basically it's a hot sauce for models. So of course,
which, by the way, guess what people put on every plain thing to make it taste better? Sauce. Okay. just in case anybody out there is wondering, like, wow, what an invention. You put things on plain things to make them taste better. Wait till people hear about baked potatoes. They're
going
to go crazy.
So Jessel's like, this is perfection. This is I'm not going to lie. This is probably one of the top three shakshukas I've ever had. It's almost like The slicing of the tomatoes was done so perfectly. It really elevates the entire... Who sliced these tomatoes? Who was the genius who sliced these tomatoes? It was Jenna Lyons. Oh! My dear sister friend, Jenna Lyons was the one who elevated this ordinary shakshuka to exponentially better levels. I knew it. I knew it, Jenna. You do everything so perfectly.
So they are trying the shakshuka, and Jenna's like, this is really good. This is like one of the best shakshukas like I've ever had. Seriously, it's like really good. And Sai is telling us, like, what the fuck is shakshuka? Running eggs and tomato sauce? Yeah. How about you stop being a dick to shakshuka? Like, you're borderline offensive at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Eat the fucking dinner.
Like, you're just like, you're way too enthused about seeming like a full-on ignorant jackass on camera. Not ignorant in the sense of like that this is a very well-known breakfast dish that's like also part of like a culture for millions and millions of people, and you're like, what is it? Gross. Like,
and Aaron's please. Like, shakshuka is an Israeli dish, and you'll see it on menus everywhere at brunch in Israel. So I start talking about what everyone's going to do for Thanksgiving, and Jessel's in-law, she's like, my in-laws are in town. So, you know, basically sitting on a circular couch and ordering them around to clean things, spots on walls, etc., etc. Pick up a twin once in a while, mother. God forbid you ever do anything correctly around here. Follow behind her with a washcloth.
Yes, the Thien Pavitt's parents are coming into town, which means, of course, that I'll be having to bulk order some Oreos because, you know, their little paws will be in that jar. And Sai's like, well, I'm going to California. And Aaron's like, I'm going to be in Sag Harbor. And she says how she normally hosts Thanksgiving, but this year the family actually wants to eat something, so they're going to go to Abe's mom's house, which is like 10 minutes away in the Hamptons.
And Jenna's asking, well, is that nice that they live by? She's like, do they drop by? I mean, that wouldn't be good, right? And Bryn says,
yeah, no, but like, I would love an overbearing mother-in-law. I mean, I wanted a mom and a dad, and it's why I'm still friends with all of my exes' families.
And we hear that Bryn grew up in Indiana, and her parents weren't around, and so her mom's mom legally adopted her and her siblings. So her grandma was basically her mom to her, but she doesn't really have a parental figure anymore.
So Jenna asks her if she fell in love, like, who's a person she's going to introduce that guy to? And Bryn's like,
my brother.
And she's like, so you don't have a paternal figure? And Aaron's like, wow, I knew she had a rough history, but it's just like heartbreaking because you can really see it's upsetting her. And, you know, I mean, I guess the most shocking part is that someone that sad still won't go to catch.
I just like Aaron saying, wow, I've known Bryn has had like a really rough history, but I didn't realize it was that bad. I'm like, have you ever asked her a question? Because she seemed like very eager, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, but she was very eager to sort of like bring this to the table right now. You just don't ask questions of your friends, like the most basic questions.
Right. She's not a withholder, you know?
Yeah. Bryn's not like, this is not.
She's not like a big secret keeper.
Bryn basically spends the episode like telling everyone the story. And so, which is not, I'm not shaming her for that, but she tells everyone. So the fact that Aaron's like, oh, I didn't realize it was that bad. It's like, have you ever talked with your friend before? Have you ever asked her any questions about her life?
So Jess was like, so Bryn, you're going to London for a week. And it's like, yeah, I'm going by myself. I mean, I might see Gideon this time. He's my third fiance. Like, he's the British finance guy, and we're like consciously a couple, so I guess that's what I'll be doing. It's like, well, hey, listen, you found three rich dudes to choose from between the holidays. I mean, is it sad that I'm jealous? Like, I have great parents. Can I trade them? Because I would love a Gideon to go visit for Thanksgiving, okay? I'm sick of these lame asses, okay? Trade ya.
Bryn's like, Gideon's like my third fiance, and I'm not married. Like, obviously, I don't have it all figured out. And obviously, if I'd been married, I'd probably be on my third divorce by now. So statistically, I'm setting myself up for success because I never want to get a divorce ever in my life. And Aaron tells us, Gideon, I wish you would get with him. Like, I don't know why. He's like cute. He's like Jewish. He's like a nice Jewish guy. He's like the sort of person who would like make shakshuka for you. You know what I'm saying?
And Bryn's like, well, I'm not really close to my relatives, and I really want a family of my own badly, you know? I want traditions. I want places to go. So that's why sometimes I call up my exes and say, what are you doing? You know, it's like Band-Aids. It's painful.
And she's like sharing this. And then Sai's like, hey, Uba, the way you're eating with that knife is really making me uncomfortable. I'm sorry. Was there an important story going on right now? I want to talk about the way that Uba's using a knife in her mouth.
I know. Because Uba is picking up food with her knife. And is that how models are taught to eat to lower calories? What is it?
I don't know, but she definitely has the butter knife in her mouth. And so they're like, okay.
Wacky, look at me. This is crazy. This is called eating hot sauce like crazy person. What a show.
What a wild, interesting group of ladies we are. Eating with knives, sharing childhood trauma, having shakshuka late.
So they pack up and get ready to leave, and Aaron's like, Jessel, because Jessel's waiting like in the foyer, like she's just standing there waiting to leave, and Jessel's everyone else is packing, and Aaron's like, Jessel really cannot wait to get out of here. And it cuts to Jessel going, I literally cannot wait to get out of here.
You know the cartoon with Bugs Bunny or whatever the fuck it is? I don't know. I don't know cartoons and things like that. What's the one with the woodpecker that's also like a coyote and like a Tweety bird? Some stupid fuck. The Roadrunner. The Roadrunner. I am the Roadrunner. So beep, beep, motherfuckers.
Which is so sad because it makes Pavitt the coyote, you know? So she's like, bye, stupids. So she leaves. And then Jenna's like, not going to lie. I would maybe go on another girls' trip. I mean, I would grade it a 5. Are we doing letter grades? Okay, if it's a letter grade, I would give it a C, I guess. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, no one is impressed. And Sai's like, Aaron, you've been amazing. You didn't really feed me very much, but, you know, whatever, whatever. So Aaron's like, I tried to feed you, but you didn't like the shakshuka, so not my fault. Mm. I'm like, how do you not have even bagels? Have some
for
bagels.
For real, right? Have some like, chips. Like, don't you have anything in the house? Literally, she's not asking for much. Like, a bag of bread would have worked, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think Sai's an asshole for, like, being, like, not being down for shakshuka. It's not that she has to like it, but the fact that she's acting like it's some crazy thing, I think she's an asshole. But, like, seriously, have some bagels on the side.
So Aaron's like, well, they're like a group of children. That wasn't very relaxing. And so we see Sai getting into her car and she's like, do you mind if we stop at provisions? Girls got to eat. So then
there's also, I also want to point out that the car that gets Bryn is a BMW. And she goes, you know, my initials are BMW, Bryn Marie Whitfield. They're all like, please just get out of here. Please leave.
And it's like another poor person thing to say, I feel like, yeah. Oh my God, BMW. This is crazy. That's my initials. They're like, ma'am, you were named after a very fancy car. So let's see here. Aaron is, now we go back to the city. Okay, I have to just take a moment and rate this trip. Bad trip. Bad first girls trip. This was terrible. I get that we're new. I'm giving this show some grace. I'm enjoying it for the most part. I support the change for New York for the most part. We don't need to make a big speech about it every week. I support this for the most part. It needs some changes because that was a terrible girls trip. That was terrible. And that's what these shows rely on. If these shows suck, what you can really rely on is a girls trip.
Right.
Boo! Boo! Solid boo. That was lame for me.
Bad. I don't know. I thought the girls' trip was as good as all the other scenes in the show. So
it's time for a commercial. It's time for a crappin's
Hi, I'm Lindsey Graham, the host of Wondery's podcast American Scandal. We bring to life some of the biggest controversies in U.S. history, events that have shaped who we are as a country and that continue to define the American experience. American Scandal tells marquee stories about American politics, like the break-in at the Watergate Hotel, an event that led to the downfall of a president, and raised questions about the future of American democracy. We go behind the scenes looking at devastating financial crimes, like the fraud committed at Enron and Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme. And we tell stories of complicated public figures like Edward Snowden and Monica Lewinsky, people who found themselves thrust into the spotlight and who spurred debates about the future of the country. Follow American Scandal wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Commercial.
I know.
Okay, so now let's get back to real life scenes. So we see Erin in her real life. She's in an apartment. There are a bunch of workers around. And she does that white lady Spanish we're also familiar with. Hola, como esta? Pone la handles, okay? Pone la handles a car.
Yeah, donde está la handles? Donde está la sink? Like, what? She's like, yeah, I grew up in the real estate business. I mean, both my parents were in the real estate business. And, like, so my father, like, flips and develops. And my mother actually sold 3 Lincoln Center. No, not the address. She actually sold 3 different versions of Lincoln Center. You probably didn't realize that there were 3 other Lincoln Centers. And they were all on sale. And she sold them all. So, like, kind of come from real estate royalty. Like,
yeah, because back when I was little, I colored in the conference room, and she would be showing, like, Tom Clancy your house, or, like, Gwyneth Paltrow place. And, like, then we'd go to the ballet, and I'd be like, what does my jacket smell like, vagina? My mom would be like, don't be rude. That was Gwyneth's living room.
Yeah, that was my childhood, just, like, coloring in books next to Brad Pitt and then going to the ballet after. So what I'm trying to say is, if you're looking for a group of the real New Yorkers, look no further. Okay. Hello, I'm the real New York. So then she talks about how she's like, growing up with parents in real estate, it was like a natural segue for me to do the same thing. And so by the time I was 19, I got my real estate license. Oh, wait. Someone's coming into my interview room. Hi, this is Television's Heather Dubrow. And I just want to point out that my son got his real estate license at 17. Okay, thanks very much. You're doing great.
And she also joined Frederick Eklund's team 3 years ago, which I guess is her Bravo connection. So we can thank him for that. God, he's just given us so much, hasn't he? She's like, and as much as I love the passion that was in construction, I really love design. So I started Homegirl. And that's where I designed properties for clients and also, like, market value, you know? I just wanted to make it as awkward as possible. I just like answering and going, like, answering the phone occasionally myself, just to show that I'm humble and going, hey, homegirl.
So, you know, clearly the next stop on this tale of childhood white privilege was creating a business called Homegirl. What? She's like, so basically, I was raised with wealthy parents who both were in real estate. So I decided to go in real estate and they gave me a bunch of leads. So then I was successful in real estate and now I'm successful in real estate.
Yeah. And it's literally the longest monologue we have on the show so far. It's like a 3-minute monologue and it is just like nepotism. Met Frederick Eklund, then got Frederick Eklund to get me a job on Bravotism. I was like, you're really not winning any contests here.
And now I can say some words in Spanish to these workers. She's like, this sink doesn't go here. This sink is stainless steel. It's supposed to be porcelain. We need to get rid of this sink. What I'm trying to say is stop the steel. We need porcelain. Stop the steel. Stop the steel.
So that's her thing. That are people are coming after her for donating to like Republican people, or what's her thing? I haven't really gotten into the drama.
So
of the show.
Yeah, I haven't, because honestly, I really can't do.
Was sending us links, and I was like, "Oh, great! You know, shocker! I'm completely shocked."
She had to make a statement.
What was her statement? What'd she say?
I don't know. I think her statement was like, "Yeah, I grew up around Gwyneth Paltrow," but like she basically was like, "Oh." I donated in 2016 because I was very concerned about Israel, a single issue voter, and it was a total mistake. Shouldn't have done it, but now my name keeps getting associated with it. And like, I 100% don't believe the election was rigged or stolen, yada, yada, yada. I was, you know, I don't know. And honestly, I just can't be bothered to like look into whether or not Aaron is an insurrectionist. I just can't take it on. Insurrectionist.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing we've learned about Bravo. All this shit comes out without anybody having to do any, like, we literally just sit here and just wait for the shit to start cascading down upon us. So yeah, I'll just wait for that moment in time.
Yeah, we'll see.
So then we go to Bryn, who goes to a salon, and she starts talking about, she's friends with her stylist, Nadia, And they starts talking about, they starts her hair. Talking. What is wrong with me, you guys? I'm trying to read notes and speak English at the same time. So she's talking about how she hasn't had a relaxer in 8 years. And she wished she could go back in time and not relax it. But she had to when she was little because her grandmother was white. And she, or Darlene was her name. And she was raising 3 biracial kids. And her hair was really big. She's like really Huxtable's hair, but hotter. And so she's talking about how her grandma couldn't figure it out. So she would get made fun of all the time. But finally, her grandma had a friend who was like, you have to take these children to the salon and get their hair properly done, for fuck's sake. You
know? Yeah, so basically her grandma would drop her off at the beauty salon on Saturdays and leave her there all day long. And that was her exposure to basically Black community and specifically Black women. And that's where she grew to appreciate like the strength, resilience of Black women. And this was, I thought, like actually Brian's strongest scene because I felt like she was actually being, she wasn't, I didn't feel like she was being performative. I felt like she was actually just kind of like being honest about, she just was talking, you know? So I really liked this scene and I liked hearing the story.
They're really leaning into the drama part. They're like, guys, this is a New York where we're just going to go into real feelings. And I'm like,
well, because like, down. Well, New York has always had the trauma, but it's always like, you know what? Growing up, my father would throw a chair at me and I would be like, whoa, dad, don't throw a chair at me. So then I moved to the city and met Mario. And he was like, wait, what was that?
Yes. And it has the trauma, but it would always have that stupid music behind it. It would be like, my father threw a noodle at my head. And it'd be like, dum, da-dum,
da-dum, dum, or Bethany was like, my father like grabbed my mother by the hair and dragged her across the kitchen floor. And like, I remember that. And then my dad would go to the Reese's. And I was like, pretty much like raised at the Reese's, okay? Like with bookies. There was bookies all around. And they had guns. And one time I watched them murder someone. They actually slit someone. They didn't pay them back. So anyway, here I am. And this drink is stupid. Why do we have this drink? Can we get some more laughter here, please? So to hear like Ernest's trauma on this show is strange.
Yeah. So then we go to Uba's apartment in Columbus Circle, and they're like, let's lean into it. Let's have some more drama. So her friend Kathleen, who's like your supportive friend, but she's that kind of friend who's like supporting you, but she's always looking at you like, oh, shut up. She's just got that look on her face. Like everything Uba says, she's like, shut up, Uba. So she comes over and she's her friend and business consultant. And Uba's like, I met Kathleen at a charity event. They were boxing to raise money. And I was like, oh my God, she's fearless. She's more than a mentor. She's a very good friend. And she can really take some hot sauce. Shoot it. Shoot it, girl. Shoot it. Like, oh, shut up, Uba.
I have to say, watching Susan Powter smack Kathleen up against side the face during the charity event, the way Kathleen's body went flying out of the ring, tumbling around in 3 circles into the audience, I thought she is fearless. I need her for my hot sauce brand.
Oh, that's such a New York story, too. We met at a charity event where I saw her boxing a famous person.
So Uba is, she's like, I want to learn from Kathleen, and they talk about wanting to take the hot sauce to the next level. And she's like, she wants someone to basically hold her hand and show her basically the pitfalls, like don't do that, do this, don't do that, you know. But she also wants an investor to help expand the hot sauce business faster. And all that. She basically wants,
she's like, why do I have so much trouble receiving? I was like, probably because people aren't giving you anything, I would imagine. Or if you're looking for investors and you're having a problem with that, it's because you don't want to give your whole company away to a bunch of fucking jackasses who are going to boss you around, which is not a problem receiving. It's a problem with having things taken from you. That's what I'm getting from the scene. So I hope Kathleen is there to kick some ass while you're looking for public funding.
Kathleen's basically like, listen,
protect
Uba.
Protect Uba hot is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Kathleen's like, Uba, we've had this conversation 5 times already. You need to do this on camera because you're not going to get anywhere unless you have an audience. So that's really the point of this, is to be like, hello, America. I have hot sauce.
If anyone wants to invest. Yeah, so she's basically looking for, she's looking for investors, right? Okay, so. I'm sorry I'm laughing. It's because of Kathleen. It's not that Uba's story is funny, because Uba's story is like actually, it's more drama. So it's like actually sweet and stuff. And she's a sweet person. But it's just Kathleen's reaction to everything. Okay, so she goes, I want investments to expand Uba Hot. I don't want investment companies to tell me what to do. And Kathleen's like, so what's the problem? And she goes, it's how I was raised. If you want business, your uncle helps you. Or I come from a community culture. And Kathleen goes, but you don't have that community anymore. You're on your own now. She goes,
yeah.
And she goes, yeah. And you've done an amazing job of being an amazing woman on your own, but you're not surrounded by family here. Aw, you're crying. I was like, yeah, Kathleen, what the fuck? The woman's like laying her heart, and Kathleen's pulling out a jackhammer and just jackhammering over her heart.
She's like, does this hurt? Does this hurt what I'm saying? Okay, try getting punched in the face by Joan Van Ark, okay? That's pain, and you're doing it for charity, okay?
Don't come crying to me until you've taken a shiner from Maria Bello, okay?
Do you know what it's like to have Suzanne Plachette punch you right in the eye? Yeah, she did that to me the day before she died.
My only saving grace that day was Kathy Baker calling in sick. Probably would have gone down for good. That girl's a mean right hook.
You know who has a sick uppercut? Judith Ivy. You better watch out.
Now that I believe. Judith Ivy probably has done a charity boxing, and she probably has beaten the shit out of somebody.
I want to see Judith Ivy and Judith Light go at it. Battle Judith.
So then Uba's crying. She's okay, back to crying. So Uba's crying, and she's like, you know, and I don't have my mom, and I'm so alone. And Kathleen's like, but you have so many friends here, Uba. And she goes, yeah, but not my mom. And every time I had a problem or if I was stuck somewhere, Kathleen goes, you called her. It's like, oh my God. I love this like Grace Under Fire side character, Kathleen. I need Kathleen to be part of the cast. Because I feel like Kathleen would add some spice to this show, where she'd just come in and be like, oh, just shut up.
Kathleen is sick of this. So Uba's talking about how her mom was like the boss, and she was great, yada, yada. And her mom died in December of 2012. So I have to imagine when this was filmed, it's coming up on the 10-year anniversary. I think that's sort of what is being implied here. So Uba's just saying, she's crying, it's sad. She's basically saying, you know, make sure you're on good terms with your mothers because once they're gone, they're gone. And Kathleen's like, well, what would she tell you to do? She would say, get the money, go, you do this. No. What would she tell you to do if you were in a boxing ring with Mona from Who's the Boss?
Choke them with hot sauce. And that's what I did. That bitch went right down. So then we go to Si's brownstone, and Si's hanging out with her husband, David, and the kid's making his own pizza and stuff. So then she's like, so anyways, I was talking to Bryn, and she has no family, and I felt bad about it because she's got no one. And I relate to her, you know? Like, I know what it's like to not have family around. It's only been a few months since my family's gone, so I understand why she just leaves and goes out of town. And she's like, David, she grew up with food stamps. And he's like, yeah, like you. And she goes, yeah, so I want to do a Friendsgiving for her. You know, invite the girls. It could be like a, you know, like a Friendsgiving, you know? We could be thankful, and then I could show Aaron what it's like to feed people things with normal names.
Yeah, I want to invite Bryn over to a Friendsgiving that lacks any sort of warmth or Thanksgiving foods whatsoever. It's basically just an excuse to put branches on a table. How about we do that, huh?
And so they FaceTime Bryn to tell her this idea. And she's like, we're going to call it Friendsgiving. And Bryn's like, stop it. I'll come early and like totally help drink your alcohol. So much fun. It's the best way to avoid my feelings.
By the way, Bryn does not do that. She does not come early. And she also says she'll come early and help out and play with the kids. And she literally does none of those things. Yeah. But Sai's like, yeah, you know, we can mask all our feelings with alcohol. It'll be so much fun. So Bryn is telling us, she's like, you know what? Like, Sai is absolutely like a tough cookie, but I always try to tell Sai that she has like a soft spot for me. And I always try to hug her, even though she hates hugs. But like, it's like things like this. I'm like, see, you're like sweet. You're like a sweet, thoughtful sweetie pie. I just want a scissor. Did I say that?
So then the side's like, oh yeah, and what was the deal about fucking Jessel? Like, she was so cranky. You know what? I learned a lot about that girl. I learned her vagina's on a drought, and maybe that's what's wrong. Get fucked. David, what do you say about it? You're a man. And he's like, as a man, I have no idea what it's like to have a child, let alone two, so maybe you guys should take it easy on her. Because you've only got so much energy to give. It's like, thank like, you. Thank you. How like, is everybody being this cold to this woman? Jeez.
She's like, David, that was not what you're supposed to say. Like, you really nailed it when you were like, what's the deal with cheese graters? How do you use these things? I'm a man, but I don't understand how you're actually being so considerate in this moment. Can we take that again from the top?
And she's like, aren't you horny, David? And he goes, yeah, but maybe she's exhausted. She has twins. And Bryn's like, yeah, I've hung out with the twins. And it's like, I get my birth control and I just take the whole thing. I'm like, wow. I was like, they're everywhere. They are literally everywhere.
I know. They're like, yeah, Jessel's kids are terrible. So David is like, well, you guys can have your Friendsgiving and then they can have their dirty giving or whatever. So, now we go over to Jessel's apartment because we're going to go back and forth. And Jessel is sitting there with Puppet and they're just sort of sitting there joylessly playing with their children. Like,
it's so funny.
Playtime with children. We love these children. These children make us so happy. Look at how much joy we have in our lives from these children.
It's like, Rio, why do you do that? Why do you go in there? Other one. What's the other one? Rio, Cruz. Is it a Cruz?
Cruz.
Is there another Cruz? Rio. God, whichever one you are, God. Is there someone to take care of you? And she tells us, I'm so excited for the kids to go to preschool. I work from home and so does Pavitt. And I've got one twin and I've got one on this leg and he has one twin on the other leg. And we're both patting our legs up and down saying, what's the point of flying mother in if she's not going to take these goddamn kids? Mother, you're going to die alone in a home, a state-sponsored home, if you don't get in here and get these goddamn children off of me.
I mean, we have to sing the wheels on the bus and do the actions every 5 minutes. What's the point of singing this stupid song if you have no intention to ever put our children on a city bus? It's stupid. So
and
then
she goes, it's impossible to get anything done. And then they open the front door and they literally hand the kids off to nannies.
That was the most amazing thing. Like, we don't even get, like, a Chiron. The door opens and the children just go away. It's like, all right, let's play our favorite game. Send the children down the trash chute. Goodbye.
So then they do that couple thing where they're like, let's have a talk while we hold our laptops. So they both have their impossibly thin laptops that they take over and sit on the couch to talk to each other. And they're just both open while they have a conversation. That is, like, the most New York couple thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say it's also a very LA couple thing to do. So Jessel says, so I signed them up for early decision. Please don't make me say their names because I really don't remember. So let's just refer to them as them. And Papa goes, but is Montessori the right decision for them? Of course it is. You can tell the caliber of people that go to the school. The open house was very elevated. I mean, they had charcuterie and wine. Children love charcuterie and wine.
He was like, yeah, but that was a great experience for the parents, but is it good for the kids? And she tells us, it's the beginning of the educational foray into the world. It's not just what they're learning, it's who they're learning it with. I mean, there's so many famous people in New York City.
It's who they're networking with, the parents. It sets the tone for everything. I'm like, I love the idea of these like 2-year-olds networking with each other. Like,
oh, at me on LinkedIn. Boop, boop, beep, boop.
She just wants to meet famous parents at the PTA meetings. She's so transparent. It's so funny. And also she feels so trapped and it's so obvious to everybody besides her because everyone else is like, oh my God, what are you trapped? And she's like, no, not at all. I'm just wearing a necklace made out of giant drowning chains. It's like she's got one of her necklace is chains literally this gigantic. It's a chain made of links this gigantic that goes around. It takes up her whole neck. And then today she's wearing just a big solid it's like the statement. It's the most repressive statement necklaces I've ever seen, I guess. Which is very Real Housewives of New York. It's very Countess Luann.
Yeah. So Papa's like, we're paying for the children to water plants and sweep the floor and eat lunch and like take a 2-hour nap. I don't think we need that. And she goes, but that's what they're going to be doing. They're going to be doing that in school anyway, so they might as well do it around Emily Blunt's children.
He's like, but they can sweep with poor kids for free. She's like, oh my God, you're such a cheap ass. I was also thinking of spending time in the Hamptons. Do we want to rent there or something? Because I was just there with my fabulous sister. And he's like, so you want to create your week, girls week with the girls because they have houses there. So now you need a house there. And she's like, no, I don't want to recreate any of that. I looked hideous and I don't wear a large. I was just a sacrificial lamb. I mean, it started off with me saying I was cold, but then everyone else said it was cold. I just don't understand why they were so upset with me.
And Pavitt's like, well, your tone of voice sometimes has the potential to turn people off, starting with your husband. When you come off like the wrong way, like if you came off the wrong way, like you always kind of do, you know, sometimes, like all the time, like really as we speak this moment, it's very off-putting. She's like,
what do you mean like I always do? Pavitt, you're supposed to support me. He's like, yes, but how can I support you when your tone of voice sometimes is not, what's the right word? She's like, are you calling me a bitch? He's like, no, I would never say bitch. You're just a,
awful person, unattractive beast, disgusting life partner,
urchin,
craven piece of dust,
Cruella, Dalmatian murdering,
life
bitch,
vacuum.
You're calling me a bitch. He's like, kind of calling you a bitch. He's like, just call me a bitch.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then it cuts over to Erin's apartment, and there are like rubber hands on the ceiling that her kids have thrown up there. And so she's like trying to get them off by basically poking at it with a rod. And so Jenna comes over, and Erin's like, huh, after going to Jenna's apartment in pristine condition with candles and like a beautiful bar on a big island, I have fucking sticky hands all throughout my ceiling. Huh. I want my home to look good because she's just like so judgy.
When have we seen any example of her being judgy?
Literally, the most judgy person here is Erin.
All we've ever seen is Jenna going out of her way to be nice. Really, honestly, in my opinion, too nice. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I need more crazy from this person, you know?
Jenna just shows up with gifts. That's all she does.
She and expensive ass, fabulous gifts. And then everyone just kind of shits on her.
Everyone.
Yeah, and so Erin's like, so do you want coffee? And Jenna's like, yeah, hey, I want to see how you do your coffee. And she goes, isn't this crazy? Like, I have this, like, nipple cup. Isn't that funny? My mother-in-law gave it to me.
Jenna's like,
hilarious.
Jenna's like, it's a creamer. You can see because there's, like, a hole in the nipple. Like, how do you drink your coffee out of it? Have you ever used this? Because you would not be able to fill it up with coffee because it would, there's a hole. It would come out. It comes out of the hole.
Yeah.
Do you ever consume things?
Jenna's like, yeah, this girl's an idiot. And Erin's like, the point is I'm like wacky and hilarious. So are you getting that? Have that taste.
Jenna's like, she clearly doesn't have a lot of experience with boobs or creamers.
So then we see Jenna's like, I got you a little gift. I stopped by Susie Condi. By the way, I'm going to say that 10 times in the scene. So hope you like Susie Condi. And I got you a little gift for hosting at your house from Susie Condi. And then we see a clip of Jenna and Jessel shopping. And she's like, oh my God, thank you so much for meeting me at Susie Condi's because I really wanted to shop here. So
Jessel's like in a bathrobe and her hair is like in a towel. She's like, I just got out of the shower, but I heard that when you wanted to meet me at Susie Condi, I got here as soon as possible. Love me.
And Jessel's like, this is a little out of my price range. Hopefully one of my children can become Emma Thompson's grandchild's friend. That's just all the Emmas. Emma Blunt, Emma Thompson.
Emma.
That's Emma, all the Emmas I know. Anyone who's played Emma in the films. Gwyneth, I'm bringing us back to Gwyneth, actually.
Anyone who ever performed in M. Butterfly. Anyone who played M in the James Bond films. So is that Judi Dench? I'm not sure.
There are sisters named Emma and Emma. Eminem. So Jenna's like, yeah, here we are at Susan Condi. And Jessel's like, yeah, this is a bit out of my price range. And Jenna's like, well, we don't have to like actually shop. We can just like hang out here. I love Susie Condi. Like she's just fucking great. So let's just sit here. Let's sit here on a Susie Condi couch.
Just like the way sisters do. Absolutely, Jenna Lyons.
So then we cut back to the scene and Erin goes, oh, thanks. I guess I'll just open this later. No, you're not. She just went to the store and bought you something that's $1,000. You should fucking open it. What's wrong with this person? I find Erin to be extremely rude.
I find her to be, she's the worst kind of rude because she's rude and uninteresting. So Jessel, we then go back to Jessel's house. So we're doing a very interesting three-way cross-cutting, but one of the cross-cuts is in the past. So it's like, it's very weird, memento. Right? It's like, whoa. So Jessel is like, so Pavitt, please wake up, Pavitt. I'm trying to explain story to you. I apologize profusely to Jenna, and I told Jenna this the other day. I said, if you have a problem with it, I would have loved it if you would have just come to me or call me up or invite me to coffee. Or you could do it, honestly, even if you don't have a problem, you could do those things. Really, whatever you want, Jenna.
And then we see a clip of Jenna being like, okay, so I guess what you're saying is if you ever do something really lame again, I'll just come talk to you about it. She's like, yes, just be like, Jessel, you idiot, you asshole, you insensitive bitch, which is what Prophet just called me with his eyes the other day, multiple times. She goes, oh, okay, thanks for your permission. I guess I'll just come at you. I mean, the thing is, she never did have a problem with you to come at you and talk to you. Everyone else did. She was just
Jenna.
She finally just said, okay, it didn't feel great because everybody just kept running it into the ground over and over again.
Yeah, everyone's like, that's so rude. That's rude. Isn't that rude? And Jenna's like, yeah, I guess it is rude. It's like, Jenna was saying that Jessel was rude. So Jessel's like, I just wish we had this conversation from the beginning because, you know, Erin and Sai involved the entire group and I would have expected it to be more, I don't know, adult. And Pava goes, are you calling them children? She goes, no, Parvit, but I did call them cackling old hags, though. Oh, I'm naughty.
And he cracks up, which I thought was funny, because he can try and find 20 different ways to call her a bitch all he wants to, but he loves it. You know, he loves that part of her personality. I don't think you could marry somebody like Jessel and not love that part of her personality, you know? That's why she's funny. She's like, this sucks. I hate everything. He's like, that's hot. So he's cracking up at her.
And we see a flashback after she said that she called them cackling old hags. And Jessel goes, tells Jenna, I didn't appreciate how everyone got involved. It was a bunch of crazy cackling hags.
And Jenna's like, okay. So now we're back with Erin and Jenna. And Erin's like, did Jessel say anything about me? Tell me. I won't say anything. Just tell me she did. I won't say anything. And she goes, well, we were sitting at Susie Condi's shopping for Susie Condi stuff. And she just said that, like, I got carried away and these cackling hags were ganging up on me or something like that.
And Erin's like, cackling hags? Oh, my God.
And then she goes, yeah, I don't really know where they got that. And then it shows a clip of them sitting at the restaurant, just Jessel and Jenna and all the other girls coming back to the table. And Jenna goes, yeah, I can hear them cackling.
So
it's funny that it came from her and then went to Jessel.
So Jessel
now
steals
is going to come to kick Jessel in the ass.
Jessel's like, there's cackling hags. Remember when you said cackling and I'm saying cackling also? So it just like shows our friendship is so strong.
Funny. That is classic Housewives. She's just trying to impress the cool one by repeating something that she said, and now she's going to get crucified for it.
Well, what was funny was I went out to Twitter because Roni was trending, and of course all the people who are really loving the show, who are just like so over the top, they were like, oh my God, I never would have thought that Jenna Lyons would be the bone carrier of this show. Oh my God, she is the bone carrier. Oh my God, Jenna Lyons are the bones. Jenna Lyons are the bones. I'm like, this is not a bone. This is the most delicate, gentle sardine bone, a bone that you can just like literally eat and it's fine. Jessel saying that they're cackling hags is so, like, it is such a stretch to be like, this bone carrier. I'm sorry, that is importing way too much drama onto a stupid throwaway comment.
And Erin's like, well, you know, we didn't yell at her. We just said sorry and be nice. And Jenna's like, I mean, look, you have children, so you know what it's like. And she goes, oh, so you're comparing her to a child? Can't wait to tell her that later. I was like, oh, my God. So Jenna's like, no, I'm just saying, like, the empathy towards someone when they're struggling is all I'm saying. Like, if I felt ashamed or, like, I did something wrong, like, sometimes it's hard to, you know, stop being mad at myself or like I get weird or like maybe she was just struggling in that moment. And Erin's like, yeah, I can be empathetic to that. I mean, my mom sold 3 Lincoln Center. So
she's like, she's just so different than me. I mean, I think she was catered to a lot probably. I'm like, really, Erin, you're really the one to say that?
You literally just had a monologue about how your entire fucking life was handed to you on a silver platter.
Can we not? So Jenna's like, I like Jessel. I mean, I know she means well, but she just says things without thinking and doesn't realize how they come off. And I don't think there's a mean bone in her body. I just think that she's trying too hard. And
I think she has some very mean bones in her body, and I can't wait to see what they are. I believe that there's mean bones there. There's probably good bones too, but I believe there's mean ones. Can't wait to see.
Jenna hasn't seen the mean bones because Jessel's only presenting the best bones possible.
Well, she did see the mean bones when she was walking around going,
"I hate this outfit. It's the most hideous thing ever. What am I fucking Christmas tree?"
So back to Jessel and Pavitt, and Jessel's like, "Oh, the other thing that came up was our sex life. Yeah, that kind of came up." He goes, "Oh yeah, well, the married with kids tax." Married with kids tax? Is that like when you get married and you send your kids to Montessori so they can network and you have to pay a tax on that?
No, it's like just, you know that sound you made when you met me? She goes, "Meh." He's like, "Yeah." He's, "Oh, yes, I do. Is that what that is?" He goes, "Yeah." It's just like, look, there's not free time for us to literally have time to do anything but eat and sleep. And she tells us, "I mean, hello. Why aren't you concerned? Let me tell you, Pavitt doesn't give a shit what people think. I'm just a little bit more sensitive. And I think that I've just been in this whirlwind of baby land, and I realize that now's the time to get back in the bedroom. I mean, apparently if I don't have sex with my husband, people start assuming that I'm just a large and nightgowns. Won't stop trying to purchase things for me in size large."
She's like, "You know what? We're going to get a hotel room in New York, have a little staycation, and we'll remove the tax on your marriage. We need to get you laid. Pavitt! The stool is in the foyer again. Could you get that, please? The kids aren't even here. How did that happen?"
"We're going to get you laid." And her mom pops in. "I'm getting paid today." "No, not you, mother. Not paid. Get out of here. Seen, not heard."
So now we go to Cy's Brownstone for Friendsgiving. So she has a hot chef named Cone. And she's like, "I'm doing a little Friendsgiving for my friend. Her name is Bryn. And she doesn't have anyone to spend the holidays with. So I thought it'd be really nice to do something to set up here and have a good time." You know, he's like, "Yeah, I know. I'm already here. And I've got a Friendsgiving menu. You don't have to explain to me the assignment."
You know what makes something super special? When you brag 20,000 times about how you're just doing it because this person's needy.
I know.
Like every time she says it, she can't just be like, "I'm having a Friendsgiving in honor of my friend." And she, every single time, she's like, "Yeah, I'm having a Friendsgiving for this friend who's got nobody, nothing. So I'm going to do it for her, you know? It's like a charity case, but Thanksgiving, you know? Can we have cranberries, but called, like cranberry sauce Red called snapper. Like campberries, you know? It's just something like sad berries, maybe, like, you know, like maybe when we break the wishbone, we can have a little game called, you know, no wishes for you, boned, you know, something instead like that.
Instead of cranberries, we can call it raised by my grandmother berries. So meanwhile, I'm just saying, size piling on a lot. But I love this. This is already such a cold Friendsgiving to me. Because A, she's not making anything herself, which I guess is fine. You can hire a chef. But I feel like Sai has been really pushing this whole thing of like, "Listen, you know, you come to my house, I'm going to feed you. This is going to come from the heart." And it's like, "Oh, I'm going to hire a guy." And then she's like, "Okay, can you go over the menu?" He's like, "Well, there'll be some fried potato chips and some salmon and some red snapper." I was like, "Is this Friendsgiving? What's going on here?
This is where's like the turkey?" Dinner. Yeah, this is just a regular dinner. And I also think it's funny that he's like, "We're having fried potato chips." "Oh, really? What other kind of, what would you serve?" "Baked potato chips." And I also like that they're serving chips again after everybody was so pissed off about the Pringles with the caviar. Here we That's go true. With chips again. So Sai's like, "No one's going to starve in my house." Aaron cough. Cough, cough, Aaron. Aaron shaka shuka shika. All right. I feed people at my house.
So Bryn arrives and she's holding a box. So she tells like the chauffeur, like, "I started working out this week. It's day three, but I can hold a box. I can do it." And then Bryn comes in and Sai and Bryn are complimenting each other's outfits. Like, "Oh my God, you look great. You look great. Oh my God, you look great. Turn around. Let me see the back. Oh my God, there's my back. Oh my God, now you turn around. Yes, I mean your back." Which, by the way, this sort of goes on for about 15 minutes of the show. People walk into Sai's house and people... twirling.
Say, I hope you're loving this because it goes on for the next 10 minutes. Just, "Oh my God, you look so pretty. Oh my God, you look uber hot. We are crazy. Hello, ladies. You all look gorgeous. No, you look gorgeous. You look gorgeous. Uber hot. Crazy time." I go, "Oh my God." It's like 20 minutes of hellos. Yes. So Bryn meets the guy, the chef guy, and she's like, "I love a man who can cook because I can't cook. Maybe that's why I'm not married." And they're like, "He is married." She's like, "Oh, never mind."
She just goes up to the bartender. Are you married? He's like, actually, I am. She's like, fuck. So, yeah. So now, like, more people. It just goes on and on. It's endless. Also, by the way, I hate a formal Thanksgiving. I'm most angry at Cy for doing a formal Thanksgiving. Like, I think Thanksgiving and Friendsgiving, chill, jeans, sweaters, or sweatshirts, or whatever. I'm so morally opposed to this entire thing.
Well, I get, like, it's Housewives, and, like, you really glam it up, you know? And I can see getting dressed up, but really, I mean, Brynn is literally in a beaded dress. Is that correct? In my memory, it's like a beaded Oscars dress. And she keeps turning around to show the butt line, because it, like, goes all the way down to her butt crack. So every time someone comes in, you hear, hi, hello, hello. And then she turns around and she's like, look at it, look at it. Every single time, girl.
Yeah, so this goes on. They get cocktails. More people show up. Uba is like trying like a brownie from the caterer because she's wacky. Because she's going to try the brownie. And it just like literally goes on for like 10 minutes of screen time.
It does, yeah. So I'm fast forwarding here because I can't do this. So Jessel comes over and she's like, oh, does everyone like my hair? I did a Kim Kardashian Dolce situation. So, Erin, how was your memorial? I didn't realize your grandmother had passed. And Erin's like, I mean, it was shitty. That's what it was, shitty. She goes, oh, how old was she? She goes, 94. And she's like, oh, okay, well, I didn't know. That's really unfortunate. Hope it went well. Sad. So anyway, ladies, do you like my hair? It's a Kim Kardashian Dolce situation.
She just pivots away from Erin and is like, that was a bit more of a bummer than I thought it would be. I was hoping she would ask me about Montessori. So Erin's like, the missing chip is what bothers me about Jessel. I mean, like, yeah, I had so much fun. Thanks for asking. It was such a great success and a dandy old time. My grandmother's memorial. Thanks so much.
Oh, God. What are we all supposed to fucking break down about your grandmother? It was polite of her to ask how your fucking memorial went. Get over it. Stop trying to be offended at every single thing. Like, Erin is exhausting. Every single thing anybody says, she's like, oh, really? She did? And then she's going to go repeat it to everyone to try and start World War III over. She's a tryhard, and it's not a surprise that she comes from Frederick. I've turned on Erin this episode. Yeah, I thought I was going to like you because you had like a Jennifer Aniston kind of like cool girl vibe. Not buying it. You're wrong. Frederick did us wrong.
Yeah, I think that Erin thinks she's a lot more relatable than she is. So now Erin is telling Jenna and Brynn how weird Jessel is. And Erin's like, I mean, did you tell her what she called us after the Hamptons? Jessel called Cy and I cackling hags. Can you? I felt a shiver down my spine as I said those words, cackling hags. I'll say it again. Oh, it's terrible, terrible.
And Uba's like, what is it, caca? And Brent's like, no, cockless hags, somewhere I never want to go. I don't want to be around hags that are cockless. It's like, I don't think that makes as much sense as it is in your head, but I get it. And Erin's like, no, cackling hags, you guys. And Jenna goes, I mean, to be fair, we are kind of cackling hags, guys.
She's like, we're literally cackling hags. And I was like, what that means? And Jenna's like, you know, it's like laughing. And Erin's like, I mean, you know what hags are, you know, like old and washed up, you know? And Uba goes, what? And then Uba starts to think it has something to do with balls. She's like, oh, so balls hanging there, like cackling. Balls hanging, cackling balls. They're like, no, nothing to do with balls.
And Brynn's like, cackling is a word for laughing, but it's like a derogatory laughing. And Erin goes, like a witch. And so Uba's like, what does hag mean in slang? I will read it on the Google. To laugh in a loud, harsh way. Witch cackle. She actually had the word witch. I can't stand this word. Come on, Jessel, girl. The word witch. Now what?
Please.
Now it's turned into witch, the most hideous thing you could ever call somebody.
You ladies are in for a ride. So if like cackling old hags is the worst thing you've ever heard about said about you. So Jenna's like, I don't think she meant it the way it's getting taken out of context. I really don't. And Brynn's like, well, say what you mean. If you're going to say it, mean it. And Erin's like, yeah, and like, tell me I'm a cackling hag. Like, say it to my face.
Yeah. Okay. You're a cackling hag, Erin. Like, Who would say that to somebody's face? Like, we're allowed to talk shit behind people's back. And so Jenna's like, well, obviously I shared that information, but I had no desire to stir the pot. And the producer goes, then why'd you say it? And she's like, literally, I have no idea.
I love that. I don't know why I did that.
It starts cracking up.
She goes, that's called old lady brain.
Because to her, hanging out with nitwits like this is just hilarious. I think she's just watching them and being like, okay, this is what they do. They just repeat to each other what everybody said the last time you saw that person. And then you just watch everybody argue about it. She seems just like so amused with the whole thing.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Like, I don't know why I said that.
Yeah, it's like, I don't like,
that's
know.
A very honest thing. I'm like, I have no idea.
So then Sai and Jessel return and they all sit down to eat. And Sai's like, I didn't have a runner, so I used branches and shit, which, you know what? Guess what? Even if you had branches at your table, Aaron, maybe I could have eaten those. You know what I mean? Because you didn't feed me. So that's for sure. I could say that much.
Try not to get distracted by the street urchins pressing their face against the window and looking inside my aspirational building. Penthouse, I should say. And by the way, these tree branches like covered the entire table. I was like, where are you going to put your plates and your dishes and everything? Too many branches. I hate it. I hate everything about this Friendsgiving.
Yeah. So Aaron is like, okay, everybody, well, it's Friendsgiving. So like, thank you to Sai for having us over for Friendsgiving. And Sai goes, yeah, because you expressed to us about not having a family, Bryn. So here we are. What the fuck kind of thing is that Sai to say?
Sai is mad because Bryn's taking her storyline. She's like, well, okay, so if you want to do the poor storyline thing, then we're really going to do the poor storyline thing because I did the poor storyline thing first, okay? And you stepped on my storyline last week.
So then Bryn starts crying, right? Because it's like, okay, welcome to Friendsgiving. Bryn grew up with nothing and no family. Let's start there. She's like, oh, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks a lot.
So Bryn starts crying at both at the table and both in the interviews because she doesn't want to talk about it with the producers. But the producers, of course, are experts at this and know how to coax it out. So first Bryn's telling everyone, she's saying how she doesn't have family. And the ones she does have family, but they're like assholes. And, you know, like it's just like not an awesome situation that she has with her family. And then in the interview, she's also crying. And she is talking about like how she was really hurt in childhood. And she's obsessed, like really basically the fact that like her parents both just didn't want her. That like the people that were supposed to love her didn't love her.
Yeah, her mom had the kids as a teenager and her father was older and she only lived with them for the first 6 months of her life and they were Section 8 and they were poor on welfare and food stamps and stuff. And her dad got into a lot of trouble and she tells the ladies that there was abuse and neglect and there were times where she wasn't picked up for 6 days and her diaper wasn't changed. And they're all crying. That's it terrible. Is a really, really,
terrible.
Really sad scene.
It is
and
sad.
And it's like, to be continued. And I was like, what the fuck? Who's running this show? Who's going to be like, oh my God, you guys, I can't wait to tune in to see the rest of that sobbing scene about that like seriously it's traumatized also, girl. Like, what the fuck, you guys?
It's also so exploitative to be like, I'm sharing my trauma and let's also use my trauma to lure you in for next week. You know, like I just thought it was, and they tried to be respectful. Like the "to be continued" came up quietly. It was like, la, 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 to be continued. I was like, this is, first of all, it's not a to be continued. This is not a cliffhanger. Second of all, the fact that you're trying to turn her trauma into a cliffhanger is gross. And third of all, there's no third of all. Just 2 points I have to make.
Third of all, I can't wait to see the rest of this sobbing scene. It's going to be a whole week.
Terrible.
Every day this week, I'm going to be like, oh my God, I wonder what else happened to Bryn in her childhood. I can't wait to watch.
I wonder if they're going to make her smile. I wonder if she's going to say, but now I finally have a family. I wonder.
My God. All right. Well, that was Real Housewives of New York for the week. That was that. So we'll see how this train keeps on choo-chooing down the tracks. In the meantime, come check out these videos over on Patreon. Bonus episodes, Big Brother this week. Who else? Oh, also, I didn't mention yet, but the videos are free on YouTube the week after they're posted here. So if you don't want to give us your money but still want to watch, go for it. I find it's good to just have these on in the background while I clean. So every once in a while, I can just look up and see Ben's gorgeous face and remind myself it's all worth it in the end. Oh. We love you guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone. Bye. To be continued.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels. Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthew sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.